Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's first family of Ford for nearly 60 years, is just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway and at BillCurryFord.com, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. Bill Curry Ford is a proud supporter of JoeBucksFan.com.
Yes, finally. I know it's preseason, but finally it's going to count. Bucks, Pittsburgh Steelers, and let's talk about it. I'm Rock Riley, but I'm in for Steve Hisbits. This is the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Nobody better, nobody longer, and he's still standing strong. Ira Kaufman, his podcast, along with the Honorable Lee DeKemper. Gentlemen, how are you today?
I'm melting away, Rock. I'm down 9, 10 pounds. And of course, in the words of DeKemper, is it 9 or is it 10, Kaufman? And I said, it's 9, but I try to pad it a little bit.
You're looking good, buddy.
Rock, in the immortal words of Derek Brooks,
yes.
Nobody says things better than Derek Brooks.
Double nickel.
And I asked him specifically, after 10 days of training camp, Derek, how do you feel as a player? He looked at me and he said, couldn't wait to hit somebody else. And that's where the Bucks are right now, ready to hit somebody in another uniform.
How about you, Lee DeKemper? You're not, from what I remember, see, this is all coming back to me. I do listen to every Sage podcast, and I talk to Lee in the press box. You're not a big fan. Who is? Of preseason football, right? I know you hate underwear football. What do you hate worse, preseason or underwear?
Underwear football is okay in the sense that it gives us something to write about in the deep, dark recesses of winter and early spring. So that part I like. Gives us something to talk about, gives us something to write about. Gets you out of the house for a change. So in that respect, I don't mind underwear football. Training camp, I don't like training camp, but just because of PTSD from high school football. So that's why I don't like it. It gives me flashbacks. However, the part about the NFL I really cannot stand is preseason games.
Yeah, it's
they drive me nuts. And
especially
I'll be,
four, man.
Yeah, there should be none. And I'll say this. I have no shame in saying this. If it wasn't for Bucks preseason games, I would not watch any preseason games. It's my job. I have to cover the Bucks. Other than that, I don't watch a snap of preseason football. It is garbage. It's the only level of football that actually has preseason games. It's unnecessary. Both the NFL claims they're looking out for the safety of players, and players claim the NFL's helping us out. That's all rubbish to me as long as they have preseason football. It's useless.
Rock, we have to acknowledge one thing, though. It's a useful tool for whittling down the roster.
They can't do it otherwise?
From 90 to 53. If you cut it to two games, which I'm not opposed to, it makes that job a little harder. You got less tape. And, guys, I think you'd agree with me. You can simulate all you want in training camp with your little scrimmages amongst yourselves, but it's different in a game situation.
Well, I've got
something to be say about a game situation.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But I got a solution, even for you, Lee. You can, and it's not too late. Watch this game with Ira Kaufman.
What a
segue,
Rock.
It's at Buffalo Wild Wings, Wesley Chapel, just off of I-75, State Road 56, exactly 26725, State Road 56, Wesley Chapel. Ira Kaufman, the sage. That's how to watch, Lee, preseason games. And even if you've already got plans for tonight, the sage will be out there. Well, tonight he's going to be out there before 7 o'clock. All game long, he's going to have Buffalo Wild Wings gift cards while supplies last. But Sage is going to be at different Buffalo Wild Wings for every road game this season. The schedule is at JoeBucksFan.com and on Twitter. You're going to be out and about with the fans.
That's a
Sage.
Long way. That's a long way of saying that Joe Bucks fan's too cheap to send me to London. that's a strong way to say I'm not going to any road games. You know, last year I went to the opener against New Orleans. Oh, we had a ball that weekend.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's
the game
right.
was fantastic.
That's right. You
the
had
game
a
was
thing,
absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
You know where else you can have a ball?
Where else?
Well, you know, you got to wind down on Saturday because you're going to be all worked up about football. You got to wind down somewhere.
Yes.
Maybe your significant other is going to be tugging at you. Like, you know, are you done with football
We've already seen the Lion King. You can't see the Lion King.
Yeah,
again,
so, you know, when the Bucks, since the Bucks are off Saturday, there's, you know, they play tonight, Friday night. Since the Bucks are off Saturday, it's a perfect night to head to Pin Chasers for Cyber Saturday.
Nice.
High energy music, club lighting, and friends. Hey, what else do you need on a Saturday night, you know? So get the Pin Chasers for a great time at the Lanes. Enjoy 2 hours Cyber Saturday special. That's $14.29 for the kids, $15.29 for adults. It's unlimited bowling special for $16 per person from 11 o'clock to close. You can't go wrong.
You
there.
Can't get anything
yeah,
else
you,
in this world.
You
for
can't beat
bucks,
that. And
huh?
Here's the icing on the top.
I need
you get free shoes. And
nice.
Hey, and you might even get new socks if you need them. So check out all the great daily specials at penchasers.net. That's penchasers.net. And there are three Penn Chasers locations in the Tampa Bay area to serve you. Midtown Tampa on North Romania, Hillsborough Avenue, immediately north of the airport. So, you know, you don't want to get hit by a plane. It's north of the airport. And in Zephyr Hills on Gull Boulevard, which is also known as Highway 301. And speaking of Ira, the man about town that he is, look for a special Ira Kaufman Insider event coming to Penn Chasers later this fall. Again, monitor PennChasers.net.
I got it. PennChasers.net.
Rock, I don't know what the turnout's going to be at Penn Chasers. I don't know how many women are going to show up, kids, this and that. But I do know one thing, Rock. Somewhere in the crowd, somewhere, I don't know what lane,
yeah.
There's going to be a guy who's about 5'1". He's lefty. He's got a giant hook that he starts on the edge of the left gutter.
That's awesome.
And ends up with the pins freaking flying everywhere. I see it all the time, Rock. There's always a guy. I don't care what his name is. Lefty, I don't care what the hell you call him.
I know.
But there's always a guy. He don't even have to hit the pocket, Lee. That drives me crazy.
All right,
I throw
Sage.
A beautiful ball,
all right, Sage.
And I get that dull thud. Anyway.
All right, Sage. Now, listen.
Speaking
listen,
of
listen.
Dull thud.
Sounds like the check from Joe Bucks, man.
Dull thud. Dull thud. All right, let's
What do you
talk.
Got, baby?
Hey, man, we got a game. We got a game. Okay, so what do you think? I was watching the early preseason game, well, the Hall of Fame game.
The Hall
game.
Of Fame, yeah.
You know, you see the starting quarterback. They're not even suited up.
They said that game was awful.
It was. It really was. It just shows you. Do you think we will see the starters a la Winston, Mike Evans? It is a new offense. It is the first time. You think we're going to see him for a series or two? Do you think, Sage? What do you think,
Lee,
Sage?
I'll tell you this. If the Bucks go out in their first offensive series, whether they're kicking off or whatever, but their first offensive series, Lee, and they do well, and they get points, even if it's a field goal, that could be it.
Really?
That could
you
be
pull
it.
Them
yeah,
then?
Yes. But if they go out and go three and out, they ain't leaving the ballpark. They're going to have to go back out there. Arians ain't fooling around. I'll tell you the one thing I want to see, and it's not underwear football, but it is to an extent. I want to see physicality. That's what I want to see. Physicality, both sides of the ball. Stop the run, and yes, Lee, run the freaking football. And Pittsburgh's known as a very physical team, Rock. Got Mike Tomlin. I believe Tomlin just got a one-year extension somewhere.
I think so, yeah.
He did. He just
they
got
won't give him a long-term extension.
He just got it, but he did get an extension. They don't have the drama. I'll tell you what. I think this is a nice place to go because Pittsburgh fans, they will come out.
Yes.
They will be out there. They've been waiting, and especially after everything happened last year.
They didn't make the playoffs last year.
No, it was the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
I think there was something like, was it 9-7.
Yeah, something like that.
I think something like that. But you know what? They don't have the drama.
That was when Antonio Brown didn't want to play the last game of the year. Remember
Which
that?
Which was weak.
Right. Well, that was really weak.
Oh, by the way, did you hear about the story earlier in the week about Antonio Brown? Did you hear about this?
Feet. He's got bad feet.
But did you hear what happened?
The kid?
His
asking about Roethlisberger?
No.
He went into a cryogenic chamber or something?
He went to one of these cryo tubs.
No, I didn't hear about this.
He went into one of these cryo tubs, and he didn't wear the proper footwear. His feet are frostbitten.
Is that what happened? I do a show with Martin Grammatica on radio, WHBO 1040, a little plug. But anyway, I asked Martin, I said, Martin, all your years in the locker room, Antonio Brown has been around. He works out. The picture that he put on Instagram, did you see it at all, Sage? Oh, my God. Both soles of his feet gone. I'm like, how does this happen?
One big blister.
How do you think this is going over with Chucky?
Oh,
Rock?
Did you hear Chucky? Chucky? Well, we're disappointed.
But we got some other good young
but
players.
But I like some young players that I'm seeing
that
here.
Almost sounds like Lovie Smith.
Yeah,
they ask about Jonathan Banks. He's talking about Mike Jenkins.
Oh, my God. So that's what happened.
Yeah. I prayed that NFL Films got Chucky's reaction when he was told about this.
When is that going to start, Rock? When is that show
going to start? It already just started this past Tuesday. So if you didn't catch it, Tuesdays at 10 p.m.
on HBO.
Yes, and then they keep it up there
you guys,
on demand. HBO
yes.
Go. You can get the app, something something like that.
You guys know Chucky far better than me. I've only met him a couple times.
Yeah, one time
at the combine, just past year. I think it was, at any rate. I don't know him near as good as you guys do.
Yeah.
But what would Chucky, imagine Chucky's reaction. You're behind the desk, your star receiver you just spent a boatload of money on, and he's unavailable, and a trainer comes in, and Chucky's like, okay, when's Antonio going to be ready? Well, we don't know. It's going to be all. What do you mean it's going to be all? What's wrong? He's got frostbitten feet.
This is an object lesson for you, because I'm looking at you right now, and I know for a fact that you go into a cryo chamber because you're trying to maintain your youthful exuberance,
so
and you think it'll keep you young. Didn't they do that with Ted Williams or something?
You're thinking of freezing his head.
Oh. Yeah, they froze his head.
And then they found out that the employees were hitting it with playing golf with it and playing baseball with it in a can. Oh, it's terrible. All right, let's get back to this. Oh, you know what? I will ask you this, too. HBO's Hard Knocks. Let's go back to 2 years ago when it was here. The late Don Banks. And you know what? I think we maybe just a word or two. I don't know if you ever knew
him. I've only spoken to him once, so I didn't know him at all.
The reaction of Don's passing has been overwhelming.
56 years old. He passed away in his sleep. He just got a gig with the Las Vegas Review Journal. His wife said she had never seen him more enthused. This Sam Farmer, who is a reporter in L.A.
And good dude. Got the big award this year at the Hall of Fame.
He said that he and Don, they were so close, and he said at the Hall of Fame, he covered it Saturday night, the induction ceremony, and then he passed away in his sleep hours later. And he said Don Banks was the first one in the press box. He had two notepads lined up here and his pens. He was so pumped up. Long time ago, he was here covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Then he went to Minnesota. Then he was 17 years at Sports Illustrated. Anything that you would like to say to Joe Buck's
fans?
Very
well respected in the journalism community. Good guy. I believe he went to school in St. Pete.
USF grad honors.
Started his career at the St. Petersburg Times, now the Tampa Bay Times.
Yes.
The response on Twitter, Lee, you've seen it. It's overwhelming.
Yeah, he's a good man.
Guys, everywhere, from the NFL, from coaches to executives. They're all saluting him for his integrity as a reporter.
Yes.
So what a tragedy. What a tragedy. And it's a big fear for people that travel a lot. Rock, you go to a hotel and suppose something happens during the night.
That's
you're all by yourself.
Now, I will segue from this to localize it with Hard Knocks. So he did one piece and he filed it.
For Las Vegas Review.
Yes. Yeah. And it was in-depth talking to people in the Cleveland Browns organization about the effects of Hard Knocks.
Yes.
Todd Haley hated it. He went to the owner and said, "What are you doing?" Guys were playing to the camera.
Yes.
Kitchen said that. Yeah, they do a good job. They're HBO, they're NFL films, but guys are acting a little bit.
Lee, can we relate to that here in Tampa?
So what do you think that there was a little bit of a distraction? Do you think that was good, bad, not good?
I'll say this. It's not the reason the Bucs went 5-11 in 2017. Didn't help. It exposed Chris Baker to Buc Nation.
Yes.
That was a beautiful thing.
That character. It showed Ali Marpetkin strum a ukulele under a palm tree.
And it made Jameis Winston look so good and like a leader, and then it was after that that he gave.
I don't think it helps one iota, and I think it is a giant distraction, and coaches hate distractions. And Lee, more importantly than anything, whatever coaches say going into that, because they got to get behind it, Dirk Cutter wasn't going to rip Hard Knocks before the cameras came out to one buck. They don't want any part of it. If it was up to a coach, they don't want any part.
That's why I have a problem with coaches. I talked to Prickly Pete Prisco when he was here about a week or so ago.
CBSSports.com.
I miss Prickly Pete.
Oh, you did? Yeah, he's here for a couple of days.
Was he pushing Tony Boselli again?
But I don't blame him. Tony Boselli was damn good, but his injury, I get that. But I guess a week or so prior to him coming here, he put something on Twitter, how utterly overboard paranoid NFL coaches are. And I said, thank you for writing it, because you're so correct. I mean, Eisenhower on June 6th wasn't as paranoid as these guys are. I mean, it's unbelievable. And I always remember, you know how
they don't like distractions, Rock.
You know how much I always talk in glowing terms about my old high school coach. And everybody, oh, he was a high school coach, but yeah, he played for John Madden, played for Gene Stallings, played for Tom Landry,
you
played for Lou Holtz.
Even more glowingly of the top cheerleader.
More so than Rachel Watson. Honest to God, I think that
Rock,
much of
this,
him.
This is what you're involved with.
Yeah, I listen all the time.
And he had a saying to us.
But go ahead.
He had a saying. This is back in the 70s when football coaches were more paranoid than what they are now. He had a saying. And I read one of these quotes, the same thing in Don Banks' story about Hard Knocks. A distraction is a distraction if you let it be a distraction. So when these guys are dancing for the cameras laws, that tells me a coach doesn't have any control over his players and they have no discipline. So that's not NFL Films' problem. That's your problem. And you know what? If I was like Prisco and demand that these guys are so paranoid and they whine, oh, we can't have Hard Knocks. You know what I would say if I was Roger Goodell? We're putting NFL Films in every one of your SOB's locker rooms for the whole freaking year. Everybody. So no one can whine about distractions because you're all playing under the same rules. You know what? Bruce Arians got a team to the NFC Championship game with NFL Films in his locker the whole flipping season, not just training camp. So don't give me this nonsense and use NFL Films as a scapegoat.
I don't think Arians would mind one bit.
No, he's you know what? I like him when he does his media stuff. He just gives
all or nothing. It's on Amazon, all or nothing. NFL Films the whole season.
But see, the thing about that is it doesn't play until after the season is done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Hard Knocks, it's going to be this week. And Hugh, what did he say to Hugh? The coach, the terrible
Hugh
coach.
Jackson.
Hugh Jackson went over to Todd Haley and says, hey, what do you see what's going to be on Tuesday? What do you see what they got next week? And Haley goes, are you concentrating on that?
Well, right.
You're really in there, because he would actually go in there. Mm-hmm. You get 1 hour, and he would go. Hugh Jackson, every week, he would go in there and watch the whole thing and see. Dirk Cutter, one time, then he didn't even bother going in. So,
well, right, there's your problem. It's not the players, it's not NFL Films, it's Hugh Jackson. Right, that's the problem.
All right, let's get two more
all
to
right,
this game.
Who are we gonna be looking at on Friday?
All right, you
night?
Know what? All
who
right,
are we looking
all right.
At?
Well, yeah, what, I'm going to ask you, Sage. I'm going to ask you. Now, it's still a little early here to get to the kickers. We haven't hit it, and this is our second podcast. I'm filling in for Steve.
I got a couple.
But what
of
about
guys.
You? Talk to me. Let's talk.
I got
well,
a couple
who
guys. I'm
going
to throw a couple of names right out
let's
at the Kemper right now.
All right, let's go.
First name, Mike Edwards. I'm telling you guys, I got a sense, and I have a feeling. And my instincts are usually good, except when it comes to Brett Favre. My instincts are usually good.
It's okay.
Which was a classic boner in 2008, and I'll take responsibility.
What word did you just use?
Boner.
Okay.
I have a sense, Lee, and I think you share this to an extent. Mike Edwards is going to be on this football field when the games count.
Yeah, I think he's going to start.
Mike Edwards, they love him. They love him.
You know who's in?
I'm going to watch him. Okay. Another guy?
Yeah.
The guy I'm hearing every other – two other guys. One, Arians can't go 2 days without talking about Ronald Jones. Let's see what happens when he gets nailed by a safety from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Good one.
And
– good one.
Alex Kappa
yeah.
at right guard. I think it's his job to lose, Rock. Show me something, Kappa, and you'll get that job. To me, Watford is a versatile backup.
The Earl of.
Versatile.
The Earl
but
of.
You don't want him. Yeah, the Earl of. it's time for Kappa to step up. He couldn't beat out Caleb Beninock. Do I need to say any more than that, Lee? So go get that job because they want to give it to you. And nobody's rooting more than Jason Light for Alex Kappa.
I'm going to reinforce two of Ira's points. One, there's this guy that follows us on Joe Buck's fan. He's an avid reader. He's very active on Twitter. He's a good guy. I don't know if this is his correct name or not, but he's Wright Dobbs. That's his handle. That guy, I don't know if he is Kappa's roommate or he subleases an apartment to Kappa or what. This guy's all he wants ever about Kappa. And this
he loves Kappa.
Yeah, well, I don't know about loves him, but wants to know about him. And this will be what I'm about to say will be a window into how I cover training camp, the actual practices that are going on. I try not to focus on a player unless, you know, some guy's coming off an injury. So I try not to focus on a player. And the reason why that is, if you focus on a player, like laser focus on a player, mm-hmm. you miss everything else.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You don't see the big picture. Mm-hmm. I'm more concerned about the big picture. Not necessarily one player unless it's something, again, a guy's coming off the injury, what's he look like? And this guy, this Wright Dobbs guy, every practice, hey, how's Alex Kappa looking?
Jesus.
Well, I'm not focused on, first, most of the time, they're 50 yards away from me.
Yeah.
Even if I'm sitting in the bleachers on the 50-yard line, they're football field's 50 yards wide, they're 25 yards away from me. And Alex Camp of Blaine right guard's a scrum. Well, I can't tell. And so I just politely say, well, I'm looking at the big picture. I can't laser focus on him. And every once in a while, I'll put out some videos.
Yeah.
And this guy laser focuses on Alex Camp. But do you see how he blocked in this play? No, I didn't.
But I get it. You have said, stated on this podcast, you just like to watch the play. And then overall, you see if somebody just, boom, stands out.
Yeah.
And somebody comes out.
Yeah.
There was one particular play in the turn
flashes.
Style or somebody that looks pretty bad.
Yeah.
As an
someone flashed.
Lineman.
Like, you know,
you know who I want to see Friday?
Who do you want to see, Sage?
Play a half, not two series, a half. Noah freaking Spence.
That's a good one.
You know what?
That's
he's
Noah Spence.
No doubt.
Since play the guy.
Yes.
Play him.
Yes.
Since he turnstiled Bannonock in that one play early in training camp.
You love that video.
I honestly can't get enough. I watch
he says
over
he didn't
over
even make a move.
I watch it over and over. How can the guy
bad.
Be that bad?
It was bad. It was in the indoor facility.
I haven't seen Noah Spence at all since that play. I haven't seen him. Everybody was, you know, I got texts from people in this building. Oh, man, you ought to see what Devin White and Lavonnie David are doing. What are they doing? I haven't seen anything. The other night, White had a couple splash plays where, okay, I can see what this guy's doing. But, you know, these guys told him, but look what his hand work. I'm like, dude, I'm not a football coach. Come on.
Yeah.
I gave that up when I was 25. I'm no longer a football coach. Another point Ira made, and I think there's a bigger point to this.
Yes.
Mike Edwards, I'm interested in seeing how he does.
Yeah.
Like Ira, I think it's Mike Edwards' job to lose as a starting safety. I really do. But the big picture is, here's a guy you forgot about. You don't even know he's on the roster unless you see him. Justin Evans.
Justin Evans.
Yeah.
I think he's doomed.
Yeah.
He has yet to practice, and we're almost 2 weeks through. Yeah. I think he's doomed. Mm-hmm. I really do. Mm-hmm. Arians has even, he begrudgingly said something like, oh, he's got to get on the field. You know, mm-hmm.
He's behind the eight ball.
Yeah, he is.
I think he's doomed.
Now, back to this game. All right. Now, I haven't asked you. I've waited. Let's get to the kicker situation. How do you think he should handle it? Should it be? It's been weird to me where I was asking Martine about this. Usually in the beginning, they will have one kicker that day, and then the next day, they'll have the second kicker, and then they'll back and forth. He's been going one day with one kicker, another day with another kicker. It's pretty obvious that Gay has got a really strong leg. And what did he say the other day? All his years in coaching, I got to get to about the 35 with Gay. I can get to the 40, 42. That's a big, big difference. And that can get you one or two wins. But now it's all going to come down to it.
This is very delicate.
Yes.
And I'll tell you why. It's very delicate. In a perfect world, Gay wins this job. In a perfect world. And in the words of Lee, I think it's his job to lose.
Mm.
I think it's his job to lose. Arians and Light are close. Arians wants Light to look good. If Gay doesn't win the job, it's another thorn in Light's side. It's another black
another
mark.
Chapter of rotten kickers.
And who's looking? The Glazers. I think there are only two kickers drafted. Two or three, maybe, in the whole draft. It might have been two. Well, anyway, here's my point. Here's the flip side, Lee.
Mm-hmm.
If Santos outkicks him in camp and in the games, and you go with Gay, you could lose some players on this team. It's delicate. It's delicate because then the season starts. Santos misses a kick. You've cut Gay. It's a disaster. So what I'm saying is everybody is rooting for Gay to win this job, including Gay's family.
Now, I agree with this. Martin Grammatica agrees with this. Do you agree with this, Lee?
As far as being delicate?
No, as far as even if it's 50-50, it's going to be Gay. Do you agree with that? Do you think Santos has a fair shot?
I think Santos has a fair shot only because Gay has opened the door for him. Everybody's talking about his long kick. So am I. Guilty as charged. They're awesome. They're fun to watch. Like, yeah, the Bucks finally have a kicker.
What if he misses a 33-yarder?
That's where the brakes get slammed on. He's missing short kicks. Not a lot, but enough to give you doubt. Enough to leave the door open for Santos, who is making those short kicks.
Yes, he is.
And he's actually doing okay at long kicks.
Yes, he is.
Not as well as Gay,
no.
But better than what he usually is.
And what does Arian say? We got to win the close games.
Yeah.
The close, tight games.
And see, if you guys remember, Aguayo, it was already even at camp he was missing, where these two kickers have not. So we got to see. What about Devin White? Devin White's got the dot on his head. He's going to be calling the defense.
I think he's going to be very good.
Okay. This is who I want to see now because
now
be...
I wrote a line. I've mentioned this to Lee. I'm throwing this out at Buck fans, and there was only a couple of comments, but I don't think it reflects well on the Tampa Bay community. I wrote a column a couple of weeks ago, Rock, and I was talking about Devin White, and I said, if Devin White turns out to be as good as Deion Jones on Atlanta, then the Bucs made a heck of a pick in the first round. I look at the comments 2 hours later. The first two comments I see are, you set a low bar, Ira. That's the best you can do. Deion Jones is an outstanding player. Rock, Buck fans have to realize there's life beyond Tampa Bay. Luke Kuechly's fantastic. Deion Jones is tremendous. If he's anywhere between those guys, it's a heck of a draft pick. Rock, if you got a guy who's in the Pro Bowl conversation for the next 10 years, that's a heck of a draft pick. Don't make the guy Ray Lewis. Be realistic. He's not that kind of player anyway.
Notice that.
I think he's going to be very good.
I noticed what I was talking about. I've noticed that, and it comes with Jameis specifically. Anytime, any first-round draft pick, the Bucs, okay, you're drafting first round, you better make half a dozen Pro Bowls in the next 10 years, minimum, or you're a bust. With Jameis, one of the biggest complaints about Jameis is he's not playing like a number one overall pick should be playing.
Right.
Personally, I don't give a damn where he's drafted. I worry about results. He can't control where he's drafted. That's not his control, and it's past history. It shouldn't matter. You know, if
I think people they're seeing Mahomes. They're seeing some of these guys that are younger.
I guess, but do you hear anybody?
Maybe Kyler Murray's looking good in practice. Look what he's doing. They're seeing it. I know.
Garrett Goff made a big step.
There's a guy on JoeBucksFan.com. He's a known Jameis hater, and he's like, oh, the Bucks could have had Kyler Murray. How? Were they supposed to trade half the team to get that first-round pick? Or were they supposed to tank before the – how were they supposed to get him? But aside from that, I don't hear anybody saying, you know, Lavonte David wasn't our first-round pick. How come he's playing better than he should? No, they don't say that. But if you're a first-round pick with the Bucks fans expect you to be a stud.
Well, Rock, you got to remember one thing. When you're the number one overall pick, that's a little different. That is a little different. You have to lift everybody around you, like a Peyton Manning or something. That's what you got to do. That's what's expected when you're one overall, especially when you're a quarterback.
I want to get your take on this, Sage, and Lee as well. And this is off the field. Now, we all know the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they've sucked. They have a hard time filling Raymond James Stadium. What did you think of the news with Tim McGraw, full concert? This guy, you look at the Grammys, you look at the number ones.
Big time.
He is going to put on a free show. All you got to do is buy a ticket for this game, and it's going to be full. It's going to be 2 hours, 2 hours and 25 minutes before kickoff, and he's going to – halftime's very quick. $45, the tickets were starting at.
I think it's going to have a dramatic effect.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine if it doesn't?
I don't think it will.
I do think it will. I think it'll attract the casual football fan who wants to see McGraw, and we'll go. Hey, we'll make a day of it.
At 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I understand.
He's a big
huge act.
If it's
the beer will be flowing.
Yes,
Rock, the beer will be flowing.
Well, the very selfishly,
he's very popular.
I know he's very popular, but from my point of view, I'm not a big country music fan. I could tolerate it. But my point of view, when I first heard that, why not Faith Hill? You know, why not Faith Hill?
He always goes to the pretty girl.
It's 90-some degrees. Why don't you bed one of these hot country chicks?
Lee,
you know?
You're hysterical. Listen, I can tell you.
I think it's going to have a big effect. I do. I think we're looking maybe at 60,000. And if they leave at halftime with the Bucks trailing 17-3, so be it.
That's probably what is going to happen.
You know what?
Especially, I just thought
of this.
Yeah.
The Rays can't draw flies.
Right.
But remember they had those concerts?
Yes. Post-game.
They did pretty well.
Yes, they did.
So maybe Ira's on to something.
They didn't have Tim McGraw.
But then again, we're talking air conditioning. We're not talking 90-some degrees in the middle of the day.
I know. Is he going to be wearing jeans, man, and a boots out there
That's
like that?
That's why I wanted Faith Hill,
I see. Listen, hey, why not? If you don't have plans, hey, do it tonight. Bucs-Steelers preseason game, the Sage. He's going to be out tonight at Buffalo Wild Wings in Wesley Chapel, just east off of I-75, State Road 56. The Sage is going to be there with Man Beast, with the Man Beast, before 7 p.m., all game long, Sage and Man Beast will have Buffalo Wild Wings gift cards. He's the intern, by the way. He's done a great job.
We may hurl a few invectives at the screen, Rob.
Buffalo Wild Wings gift cards to give away while supplies last. And if you listen, I know it's late notice for tonight, but plan accordingly. The Sage will be at different Buffalo Wild Wings for every road game this season. The schedule, if you want to go out and watch the game with the Sage, just go to joebucksfan.com or on Twitter.
Carrie Underwood. Who doesn't like Carrie Underwood? And she does that, you know, sending that football, that god-awful song that she came up with. Can we get rid of that, please? I mean, that she assaults America with. And I know that's like urinating on the Bible or spitting on the flag to see something
the
negative about
on
Carrie
a roll
Underwood.
There, huh?
I love Carrie Underwood. Who doesn't love Carrie Underwood? But would you stay away from football music, please, girl? Please? Nice. You know, let nice. Someone else write the songs. You sing them lovely, but you are a rotten football songwriter.
You can may see country music. Can you imagine Kemper as a music critic?
Oh my God,
rock.
No, I can't. You know what? Well, I think the crowd support's been pretty good. You know, with a team that hasn't. How long has it been? Say the stat,
11,
man.
11 freaking years without a playoff.
11 freaking years. Oh, my God. They still come out in the heat. I see the jerseys. I see the granny. I see the kids.
Yeah, it's people really
there. Somebody saw a Josh Freeman jersey.
No.
Yeah. It was Lee.
Did you? You saw?
Yeah, that's hardcore, man. You still wearing that in public?
Oh, my God.
You're hardcore Bucks.
By the way, Lee, I'm sure you'll join me in this.
What, Carrie Underwood again?
Congratulating Rock Riley.
Yes.
You know, the man is an ultimate survivor like I am in this market.
That's what you got to
do. And let's congratulate him on his show with Martin Gramatica. What station is that, Rock?
WHBO 1040. We're also on iTunes.
What time, Rock?
9 a.m. until 11 a.m.
Monday to Friday?
Monday through Friday. And Martin is a good guy. Bruce Arians invited him to come out and watch the kickers.
Oh, wow.
And what he's doing is he's like, you know what? Chris Bonio is the kicking coach.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I don't want to, you know, he doesn't want to come out right away. And these guys are in a battle. The younger guy is going to be full of piss and vinegar.
Piss and vinegar.
And he's going to have all this energy, whereas a veteran, you want to make sure you don't get burned out because it is a long season. Mm-hmm. And they also invited Martin to go on the team, planned to go to London.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they think that much of him.
Say,
in the
you know what?
You
he's
know who's out of
man.
Football, Rock? Matt Bryant. Matt Bryant's out of football.
Wow.
A little surprise.
Nobody
wow.
picked him up.
Wow.
Nobody
you know what he also said? He said, too, he said, whoever doesn't make this, and is they're only going to keep one kicker, and these guys are having a good – let's say they have a good camp, and they have a good preseason.
Because I think they
make
got
it.
The punter doing the kickoff.
He
right?
is going to yeah. still – yeah, and that's going to save. He goes, you'd be surprised on how that saves the leg.
You know, here's something. I've had this question about kickers. I was going to mention this earlier.
Please.
I've had actually more than a couple fans ask me this. First time I can remember a real kicking competition.
Yes.
It really is.
Yes.
What would be the chances of the Bucks, let's say – Gay is still struggling with short kicks, but he's booming the long ones. Mm-hmm. And Santos is the opposite. He's yes. doing. He's making all those short kicks,
yep.
but he's kind of struggling with the long ones. What? You know where I'm going now.
I do.
What would be the option or chances of the Bucks sacrificing a roster spot to keep both?
Ooh, that's a great
I think at
question.
That point you toss both of them and get another kicker.
Oh, really?
God
Even
if,
really?
You, teams don't do that, Rock. They don't keep two kickers.
What?
One for short ones. It's not normally done. And it's an important roster spot. You know,
is
got
it?
53. I think it is.
Well, the reason why I'm asking that is, let's say Ryan Griffith is the number three quarterback, and a poor guy can't get in the game. That's both good and bad.
Yeah.
Horrible for him, good for the team.
You trade him to Atlanta, let Cutter deal with him.
Well, okay.
He was already in New Orleans.
When's the last time, you know, Griffin's been number three quarterback for how long? He's never seen the light of day in the NFL game.
Right.
What's to say the Bucks don't sacrifice that position?
I understand.
And I don't know if that's good, bad, or indifferent.
But what you're saying is you don't have a complete kicker. You don't have one. Now, Rock, let me throw this out to you quick. Have you ever asked Gramatica about Roberto Aguayo? And if you have, what has he said?
Yeah, he just said it got in his head early and it snowballed. And all kickers can go through mental
Does
things.
He think he could ever come back?
You know what? That's a good question, Sage. And I will update you on a podcast. You know what? I will ask him.
But
that.
He liked him coming out of FSU.
Oh, yeah, right? Everybody did. He goes, how would you know that he would have a mental thing and have all this pressure on his head? He was the most accurate kicker in NCAA history.
Well, didn't Aguayo pretty much dig his own grave I think it was a Bleacher Report did a huge feature about him. And didn't he admit that after the Bucks drafted him, he's a big golf freak. And Tiger Woods had changed his swing. And he's thinking to himself, you know what? If Tiger Woods could change his swing and reinvent
you know
himself, so can I.
I remember that.
And he changed his leg swing. after the Bucks drafted him. Yeah. So you can make an argument the Bucks didn't get the same guy they drafted.
Yeah, no, very good point. Very good point. All right, in closing here, and again, the Sage is going to be out. Wesley Chapel, Buffalo Wild Wings, tonight with Zach the Man Beast.
I'm going to start the closing right here, right now, Rock.
This is your podcast.
The final score is irrelevant Friday night. But what is not irrelevant is how the Bucks play. I want physicality. I want good play in the trenches on both sides. And then if you lose 23-17, I ain't going to lose any sleep if I'm a Buck fan. As long as I see what I want to see from Devin White, from Mike Edwards, we know what Mike Evans can do. That's irrelevant. We know what Ali Marpet can do.
Sue,
exactly. Even Jameis to a certain extent. He's not going to play much. Third game, he might play a half.
Oh, Jay, you know what he can do.
But final score means nothing.
Not late, 48-7?
But how they play and avoiding injury is also another factor.
Oh, that's the most important.
Because we remember DeMar Dotson went down in the first preseason game a few years ago. So what are you looking for, Lee?
Nobody on injury report.
A blank injury report.
Blank injury report. To me, that's the goal. You've got three other games to work out the rust. Technically three games. We know there's two more specifically. Fourth game is for the truck drivers and accountants and history teachers. So,
and I'm looking for a 75-yarder from Mr. Gay. 75. I set a high bar, Rock.
Well, but Byron makes up something, and you got to have another one-liner so you can close the podcast.
Yes.
Pittsburgh is one of the very few stadiums where, what, 55-yard field goal, anything over 55, it's almost impossible
very
to get
tricky.
There.
Very tricky.
Or is it 48? Yeah. Heinz Field is one of the worst places.
Why is that?
They're wind currents. The wind currents.
Brooks says, especially in the winter.
Yeah, okay. Because one of those end zones is close to the river. And I guess the wind comes off that river and creates a wind current. I can't remember what the yard, but I heard someone say that there was, and it's been talked about in Monday Night Football and Sunday Night Football before, that there's only one or two kicks over 52 yards have been made there.
Wow.
It's something really weird. I can't remember the distance, but it generally anything over 50 yards is dicey as can be there. So if he kicks a 55-yarder in Pittsburgh, he almost has won a job.
And, Rock, if the Bucks win their opener after Tim McGraw regales the crowd, you can bet week three when the Giants come in, it's Garth Brooks time, baby. That's what Arians wants. That's what Arians gets.
Party with Sage tonight. Wesley Chapel, Buffalo Wild Wings with the Sage.